7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 234. I almost said 236. 234 of Color of Magic, your Magic Gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of issues that affect gamers at and away from their gaming tables and computers. I am your host, Power Dragon, and man, a hell of a busy week with lots of news. Still got my main man, Brian Sonic. How's it going?
I was going to say, if you know what's going to happen 2 weeks into the future, I got some prize picks that I'd like you to check out for me.
Well, you know, we might need to call Shohei. He might have a little bit of info. Just saying.
No, Shohei's like, he knows nothing about this.
Just saying. He might know somebody.
But he'll cover our debt if we incur it.
That's true. He's a good guy like that from what I hear. Oh, man. This week's going to be a crazy one. Still want to say we are still talking to sponsors. So if you got some products or you know somebody or you just want to help us get some extra support on the show, shoot us a message. Hook us up with some people. But in the meantime, you could go support us over on patreon.com/colorofmagic. And you can get a shout out just like Sean Brown. So thank you for being a patron. And yeah, every little bit really does help y'all. So, you know, in the meantime, in lieu of us having some sponsors, if you just go over, hop over, even if it's just a couple months, support what you can. We really appreciate it. And you can go to colorofmtg.com/shop to get some merch if you want to support us when you're out at your local store and at events and such. But, Brian, we have some things to talk about today with the lead story. This is something that popped up late last week and kind of just took off. And this is going to be a tough one for us to talk about because it's kind of all over the place. But we've mentioned this group before, Black Girl Gamers, that has done a lot of good things in the game industry. They've worked with a lot of big brands. Everything we've ever known about them has been above board. I will say that. Like, hadn't seen anybody really even complain about them, except for, you know, the obvious knuckleheads. Up until this week, and then things got all kinds of crazy and went sideways. So, far as I can tell, and correct me anywhere here, Brian, if you interpret this in any way differently, because there was a lot to go through and a lot to read. But the way I understood this, there was a woman who was a member of both the Cookout and Black Girl Gamers. And we've spoken highly of both of those. I've done an event with the Cookout before, like, good people. And at some point between, it sounds like the end of 2021-ish, and now, this particular woman had decided to leave both of those groups. And she kind of went, for lack of a better term, down the, we'll call it the Candace Owens career path.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's probably the cleanest way to put it, to simplify it overall. But then in the middle of doing this, it seems like she started to take shots at both Black Girl Gamers and the Cookout as though they pushed her out of the community. And that apparently appears not to be the case. But before that really came through, a site called, I believe it was Park Place, or That Park Place, decided to take a shot at Black Girl Gamers. And then made a whole article on their website responding to one of their things about them getting some legal counsel with all this stuff popping up. And then Black Girl Gamers came back and said, nah, son, we got receipts. Like, and boy, it is a lot of receipts. Like, I'm going to have to just scroll down this thing because it is a lot. Like, so this goes all the way back to, there's pictures from 2018. And some Twitter posts from this woman in 2018 saying like, oh, hey, thanks for the help. Thanks for the tips. Taking pictures with the founder of Black Girl Gamers and everybody looks happy. There's even a point, I believe there's a tweet or actually no, a message from this person in, I want to say in 2021. I'll have to go back and look for it. But, or no, it's 2019. Actually saying that, hey, you know, dealing with some racist stuff, this, that, and the other. And they helped her out. Apparently still had her back. So at no point is there showing any beef between the group and her. And then saying that she got booted out of their Discord and everything else. And they're showing, no, we had moderators surprised she just wasn't in the Discord. And then they even showed the messages of when they tried to reach out and she wasn't there versus when somebody's been booted out of the Discord, and showing the different messages that pop up. So saying, like, she left on her own accord, we didn't boot her out. Right? Because that's basically the big thing they're trying to say is, like, look, we had no issues with her. There was no problems. There was no fights. There was no nothing. She just left and then now is taking shots at our two groups. Because I guess they're notable and something people can talk about. But my understanding, and I don't know if you interpreted this different, Brian, but I don't even think her new stuff has to do with gaming at all, or hardly.
No, I think she, if something, as they like to say, if something woke happens in gaming, I'm sure, or really any form of media, she's probably going to dive into it. But it's majority of political type stuff now.
Yeah, so it's a weird situation. Like, how do you feel about all this? Because, like, again, I think both these groups have been good for the community in a lot of different ways.
Well, this just, the irony is that people, you know, that so many of her followers are complaining, why do the black girls need their own space? This is why! Stuff like this is why. They're going about their business, not bothering anybody, and all of a sudden, here comes the alt-right hate brigade talking about y'all are the real racists, and why do you need your own space, and what, it's discrimination because you're not letting white people in. What?
But even then, to that, they were like, no, we've done projects with white people. We have done stuff with all these different groups. It's just the ones they spend the most time supporting are the ones that don't get visibility in the community. So it's not even like they're not willing to work with other people, or not even, they've had other people on their channel and videos on their streams. You know, they've done stuff directly with Twitch and sponsored big things. So it's like that are, you know what that is? That feels to me like when people try to say something about HBCUs, but they don't realize that HBCUs actually have white students in them, sometimes with higher percentages than regular colleges have of black students. Like, it's like, come on.
Like, I had this argument with a friend and former coworker about why does there need to be a Dallas Black Chamber? And, like, I'll give you an example. I worked with one of the local chambers and was trying to do a project, you know, to actually, again, increase some diversity. And after a couple of months, they shut me down. To the pro, they decided the program wasn't needed. All the businesses, everything is fine. None of this is necessary. Okay, yeah, that's literally why you have a Dallas Black Chamber, because when we take a project to the regular chamber, a lot of times it doesn't get to go anywhere because they feel everything is diverse enough. Everything's okay. Nothing else needs to be changed.
Man, you know what? On that note, I am going to get political here for a second. Because recently, there's been a new dog whistle, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But they've started using DEI.
Right.
As the new catch-all thing that we can say when we can't say the N-word, right?
Right.
Effectively. Right.
Woke is being used the same way.
Yeah. But they're also trying to blame a lot of stuff on that. Like, I saw, no lie, I saw this in an interview with the dude that's in charge of trying to get everything fixed up in Maryland with the bridge and all that stuff that fell.
I saw that too.
Trying to say it was a DEI problem that caused it. Like
why would you be shocked that Baltimore would have a black mayor?
Yeah, I'm just like, this has nothing to do with anything.
Minority community, pretty much.
The ship involved literally had basically technology fail on it.
Yeah.
So all they could do was communicate. They couldn't steer it. They called. They warned the local police. Cleared the bridge. Fortunately, the only people left on the bridge were city workers, which they were in the process of trying to get them off the bridge. But they had at least closed it off so nobody else got on it. So minimal loss of life. So everybody did what they could, and now they're working to try to get all the debris, get everything set
right.
up.
Bridge. Everybody reporting is saying it could have been so much worse. Efforts were incredible, again, considering the limited amount of time they had to be able to do anything.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that that term has gotten so thrown around that that's becoming a thing used there tells you that people don't even know what it means or what it does. Like, even this thing, I've seen it pop up with some of the discussion with Black Girl Gamers. That this isn't a DEI thing. This is literally them doing their own thing. This isn't a thing going to a company saying, like, you need to have more diverse whatever. No, they are just doing it particularly because it's people like them that aren't represented, and they're trying to, not even just people of color, particularly women that are people of color. You know, right?
Like, and yes, if you ask for their help, yes, they will absolutely come in and give you their viewpoints on things. I think they've talked to people about, like, different hair textures, because, boy, that's a conversation we have had, continue to need to have. It'll be a future soapbox about.
About they were consulted problems. For a couple of different games. We're talking about different skin tones, different hairstyles, clothing styles, whatever. So it looks authentic if you're going to put Black people in your game, particularly Black women, because people get it wrong a lot. I'm like, great, this is what you should do. Same thing Wizards did when they were like, hey, we're going to go back to Ixalan. Let's get us some people who understand the language, who understand the culture. Went over beautifully. That's what you want, right? Like, this is why groups like this exist, to help solve some of these problems. This is not a DEI thing. And also, for the record, if you go do the deep research, there's a lot of places where DEI have pushed off. They're not hiring less qualified people. As a matter of fact, a lot of places that have done that have actually followed the rules, have seen better results because they've been overlooking people that are actually really qualified. Go back to the Rooney Rule with the NFL, right? You know, a league where 80% plus of your players are Black, but yet you had almost no Black coaches, when those players would know the game better than anyone, being in the locker room, playing the game since they were in Pee Wee League football or whatever, but they weren't good enough to be coaches, apparently.
Funny how that works.
And then you get some Black coaches, and all of a sudden they start having success, right? It's just like, wow, I wonder what happened. Mike Tomlin
has never had a losing record. That's unheard of.
Yeah, and yet they've still been every year trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, Pittsburgh want to run him off, you know, for not being Chuck Knoll or Bill Cowher or whoever.
Yeah, and hell, Bill Cowher wasn't nearly as good of a coach, honestly. I like him, good guy, but I mean, like, I know this is going to be sports ball for a second for some of y'all, but whenever you look at the stuff that Tomlin has had to deal with like, all the stuff went on with Ben Roethlisberger, all the stuff with Antonio Brown, because it turns out, maybe head trauma or something, he was going crazy. Like, yet he managed all of that and got them to Super Bowls and everything. You know what I mean? Like, you can't argue with that. Can't argue with results. But yeah, this whole thing is wild, though, man. Like, and I think to your point, when people come around and say, why do people of color, women, gays, whatever, like, need a particular space? It's because of stuff like this. Like, you need somebody to advocate for you.
We don't get the job. We don't get the opportunity. Like we talk about on social media, we don't get the visibility. Even when you combine, you know, the stuff that's being done intentionally to block us from the microphone or the media or whatever, and then you combine that with people who just, you know, who mean well, but don't ever share our content, you know, but would tell you they are our friends and our allies, but just never get around to watching or sharing our stuff. You combine those two, it gets almost impossible to get anywhere, really.
Well, I touched on this a little bit, actually, in a video for my YouTube members. So, hey, you get special videos on stuff if you follow me over there. But I was explaining that you already have the issue with algorithmic systems showing people more of things they already see, right? And there's a lot of people that you're already inclined to watch more people like you, right? And especially in something like Magic, let's say, where there's predominantly a white audience, like, they're going to watch more people like them. I don't even think, it's not even intentional, it's not hateful, it's not whatever, it's just nature.
You right. Identify with this person.
Yeah.
They feel, you know, they remind you of yourself or your friend or your cousin or whoever.
But because of that, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, the algorithm's going to go, hey, you like that person, and that somebody else who likes them also watches other person, so you're going to be shown more of that, right? So it's hard for you to break into some of those, even when your content might be better, even when, like, you know, you're putting in the equal amount of time. You almost have to
relevant. I mean,
yeah, But you almost have to have a breakout opportunity, though.
Yeah.
You know? But what were you saying
I will search. I will search for stuff like in WWE, the niche that I'm in right now. And before it, sometimes before it gets to any content, I specifically search for, I don't know, WWE 24, how to use Roman Reigns. There may be three or four videos about the thing I searched about. And then because YouTube is kind of confused, now it'll start sending me actual Roman Reigns matches, which wasn't what I asked for, but it is having such a hard time finding the thing I asked for.
Yeah, I mean, that's another issue on top of it, right? So you almost need somebody, in some cases, advocating for you, helping build a network, do all this other stuff. And that's not to say, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, like, you know, white creators don't deserve to be seen or whatever. Like, that's not it at all. It's just there are circumstances where it does become easier just because of how things work. I mean, we've even had technology we've seen where, you know, they've programmed things to recognize faces or whatever, but never calibrated for darker skin, right? That's a real thing. Hell, if you're a person of color, sometimes you may wonder why, even when you go to use the damn sensor water faucets, that can't see your hands sometimes or whatever. Like, that's a thing that early ones, if you use some of the early ones, they weren't calibrated for, right?
It's always the water fountains, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's always the damn water fountains for us.
But those are real things, you know? And when you have a group like Black Girl Gamers, other than just being streamers and being a network and giving people, other folks they can learn from or whatever, they're helping solve some of the problems that the rest of that group has already gone through. And saying, like, hey, here's how you deal with this. Like we talked earlier about, hey, there's a video game coming out where the lead character is going to be a Black woman. Let's reach out and, you know, help them get all the features right or whatever. So it's a more authentic experience. Like, that makes sense. I mean, hell, I told the story on this before, you know, last year, I think, where when I was just trying to set up lighting, I was bugging out because, like, everything I read, everything I tried just wasn't working. And I was just like, I don't understand. There was a point, seriously, I think I watched like 20 videos. I read 6 or 7 articles. I talked to people and I'm like, I'm doing everything people are saying, but it just doesn't look right. And it literally took me finding an article about somebody who had filmed, it was a Black director that had filmed stuff with Black casts, won some kind of award and mentioned lighting and having to have that tint of like bluish, yellow, green or whatever, because it makes darker skin tones look better. And had the realization of, oh crap, almost everybody I watched didn't have melanin in their skin.
Right.
Telling me about the lighting. But
so they'd never had this problem before.
Yeah. So now when I see other dark skin creators, I'm like, yo, here's a cool tip that's going to help you out that I had to waste literally hours to find out. Right. But if that I don't exist or a network doesn't exist for those people to find that, like, they don't know because there's nowhere else to learn that, like, which is crazy.
They were trying to help you, but they didn't have the background because, again, they never encountered the problem you encountered.
And I think that's exactly it.
That's just one time where that happened.
I think your point's exactly valid there. It's just like the people are giving you the best information they have, but just because they don't look like you or they don't have your background or whatever, they can't give you particularly detailed information that's even better for you, right? Their information can only go so far. And that's the type of stuff that we just don't think about sometimes. But
they were trying their best to help you, but they just hadn't had the experience that would allow them to be able to help you.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't even have that experience up until, you know, a couple of years in. And I'm like, oh, this is what it was the whole time, you know, and it looks great now, you know, but I didn't know. Right. So to bring it back over to the point, though, I'm glad that the Black Girl Gamers, fortunately, still had all the pictures, receipts, were smart, saved a lot of things, were able to go back through their Twitter account, find all the posts, whatever, because it immediately lessens a lot of the heat on them. And credit to them on how they've handled it. They've been very direct. They've been very forward, you know, just said, hey, here's all the facts. Like, we're not going to jump into the pool with everybody bad mouthing or whatever. They got legal counsel, so they know what they can and can't say or whatever that are going to cause any problems. I don't know what the other legal ramifications are going to be. I'm sure we're not going to hear about it. It'll probably get settled or just things get deleted and cleaned up and each side goes their separate way. Probably some type of gag order or something on the other woman's content to just like, hey, keep their name out your mouth and we're good. All right. It's probably where it's going to end up, but
it's just, yeah, I used to watch her content. It's sad to see her go this route.
Yeah. Completely unnecessary. And don't get me wrong. Had there been something bad that happened, hey, go ham and get it out there and talk about it. Right. But this is part of the problem we have with a lot of stuff right now, where people will follow things or listen to things with no proof.
Yeah, her followers were all up in arms about, oh, she was somebody, you know, well, as I said, so many accusations about people trying to attack her and all sorts of things. And just because somebody, just because a black woman has called you out, that doesn't mean they're a part of this group.
Yeah.
They're just assuming anybody black that said anything against her, like, see, she's being harassed. No.
And my thing is, even outside of the situation, how many times have you heard about that or people have said things and yet no texts, no posts, no emails, no pictures, no nothing, just, oh, this person did this such bad thing to me, but somehow there's no trail of anything. Yet the other person,
we're all on social media all the time.
Yeah, but yet, just like in this case, Black Girl Gamers literally had whatever that was, yeah, like 30 posts.
Everything being like, alleged here took place on some form of Twitch,
yeah,
Discord, etc. And insert social media here.
But they had receipts from everything. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So you want to rebut any of this?
As soon as they started talking about it, like, oh, wait, I know her.
Yep.
It's like, I used to watch her content. And then, you know, and I mean, I've watched her go down, as you said, the Candace Owens kind of rabbit hole. And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I enjoyed her content before she joined the alt-right, you know.
Is what it is, man. There's nothing you can really do about it. But anyway, let's hop into the soapbox. We got a couple of things here. And this is one that I get it. Like, we're in a time where people are frustrated, right? People are mad. Some people don't feel like they have any control over anything, and they don't know how or where to vent. Like, and I totally get that. But y'all got to stop going to these creators and griping about the thing. Like, I've seen so many people just go into comment sections or respond to Twitter posts or whatever and just be mad at them about something they don't like about the game or something they don't like about the company or whatever movie they're talking about. They're like, oh, well, the director should have been blah, blah, and I don't know why you're supporting. But it's like, dude, they're just saying they had fun with the thing. They're just showing you a game they enjoy playing. Right? They're talking about their favorite character or whatever. Like, they ain't got nothing to do with, they don't control movie budgets. We don't get to tell Wizards of the Coast what to do with Arena or with Paper Magic anything or whatever. Yeah. Like, why are you coming and griping to us about it? Like, if we bring up a topic and you want to discuss it, fantastic. Yeah. But just coming out of the blue with something that's not even related and just, I'm like, what are you even doing? Like, I've had that couple of times in the past week where people just got on and like, well, they should do this and this and monetize this way and this is too much and blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to talk about a deck I built. Like, why are you like, what are you going off on? Like, I don't understand at all. Like, and what do you expect us to do with that? Right? As creators, because that puts us in, like, if we rebut it, all you're going to want to do is argue. We obviously don't have a problem with it. We're doing our thing. You want to be mad about your thing. So that's not going to be any interaction worth having, right? Good chance we're either going to ignore it or delete it or just hide user from channel. That's my favorite button on YouTube. So, like,
you got to let me back, man.
Yeah, I don't even know. I might accidentally hit you. That trigger finger gets happy sometimes. But seriously, I'm just like, I don't even know what is... Seriously, like, what is your expected outcome from that type of post or comment or whatever, right? Because nothing good's going to come from that. Like, no matter, and honestly, I will say, if I thought there was honest dialogue to be had, I probably would respond. But the couple of times I've even attempted to, it's like, the person already just wants to fight. They don't want to hear anything you have to say. They don't want to talk about any of the stuff that you find positive or whatever. They're right, you're wrong. So it's like, what even remotely is going to come from that? That feels like the rookie symposiums they do for the NFL, and you got Herm Edwards that just tells you don't hit send. That's what that's about, right? Like, type it up, be as angry as you want. But before you do anything, when you're done, reread it and think about what you actually want to come from that. And will it even remotely likely happen? Because the answer is probably no. You just don't hit send. That's all you got to do. Just take a chance, reread it, and go, huh, I sound like an angry lunatic right now, and it's not even about what this person's even posting their video about. Huh, I probably should just not even send this. And hell, I've been that person. You know the number of times I start posting something on social media and then just delete it? That happens a lot. Where, hell, I had it happen earlier. There was something on Facebook, and I started to respond, and I got like, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 sentences in, and I went, nah, I'm good. I just deleted the whole thing and went on about my business. Because it was like, it was a conversation I could be part of. I could interject some information some people didn't know. But I also went, ah, this is probably going to start a discussion. And this person probably ain't even trying to do all this right now. Let me just back out of this. And then that was it. And I just went on about my day. And everybody was still happy. Like, you don't always have to be heard. You don't always have to put your 2 cents in. Like, there's times and places. And especially, again, if it's subject appropriate, feel free to go nuts. But when you're just interjecting something in a space where it's not really the topic of conversation, you're pretty much just going to be looked at as the lunatic. Like, let's be real. Like, you're just coming in hot and nobody cares but you. Just being real about it. All right, your turn.
Yeah, a few episodes ago, we told you about Toni Stone, who is a black woman that played in the Negro Leagues and is an unlockable character in MLB The Show this year. And as you probably could predict, the same people, we were just talking about earlier, have lost their ever-loving minds. There's all, everywhere you look, talking about really some of the only negative comments you're getting about a game that's getting excellent reviews are that, oh, MLB The Show is gone woke. They're going to go broke. This game is over with. Why would they put women in the game? They're going to ruin everything. But she's a real person. They didn't make her up. She actually is a real woman that played professional baseball in the Negro Leagues. And as with many Negro League players, one of the reasons they do the storyline mode is, probably, had she been given an opportunity, could have played in regular professional baseball, but because of her skin color, she and some of the other people were not given that opportunity. Sony San Diego is helping to, because I, again, lifelong baseball fan of baseball history, was not familiar with her until they started announcing this for this year's game. So I don't know what you want people to do with, like, oh, they're being too woke. No, they didn't make this up. Now, one of the things they may be slightly upset about is, okay, because she's in the game and said, hey, you know what? En route to the show, it's basically to create a player. You create your own player and go learn how to play baseball mode. You can create a woman character this year. Seems like the perfect time to do it since you're introducing a woman that actually played professional baseball. People are just going ham. Like, that's not realistic. Babe Ruth is dead, but he's still playing in the game. Some of this is, it's a video game. To make it enjoyable, we're going to do some things that create kind of a different experience for you. Like, Babe Ruth and Mike Trout never played together, but in your video game, that's a thing you can do if you happen to like both those players. What else isn't realistic? You can't be a 65 overall rated player and get drafted into Major League Baseball. But the mode kind of doesn't work if you come out of college and you're already invulnerable. It's no fun if you start the game and you have a 125 rating and everything. So they allow you to be a horrible player and then unlock XP, or if you choose to, go and get your credit card out and increase your rating, however you want to do that. There are some things we do because it's a video game and the object is to have fun. These are also some of the same people who complain every year about the game. Why are you buying it? It's just a roster update. Why are you giving them $100?
For real.
Nothing is new.
For real.
Okay, we just added something we have literally never done before. This person has never been in our game in the 20-some-odd years they've been doing it. Not that. We meant something else that was different to make us give you a not women. We didn't literally want that.
Try something new, just not that thing.
Yeah. You just can't please, well, certain groups of people.
You know, right? The thing that bugs me about that is seeing that behavior for years, even with other products, where people will try to deny history. You know, and that's always kind of first, because like, dude, no, this was written. This was a thing. We have news stories. We have paper clippings. We've got video. Like, these things existed. Like, this is nobody just making up a thing just to do it. This is nobody just being woke as it is or whatever. But like, this was a real person at a real point in time. Like, it's weird to be mad about it.
Well, we're in an era when people, we got people that don't believe the earth is round. I don't know how do we argue when you literally have your, as we like to say, you're entitled to your own opinion, not your own facts. And if you believe the earth is flat, you're using your own facts.
Speaking of, I heard the best dad joke about that. Said like, if you consider the fact that the earth is 70% water and all of that water is not carbonated, the earth technically is flat.
Wow. That is in fact a dad joke, sir, but
I was like, you know, all right, I'll let that one slide, why not. But no, that's a weird thing for people to be mad about, like, because even to a different extent, this is kind of what I said about oh crap, the game that came out like 2 years ago that was super hard that everybody was super excited about, but I said
Elden Ring,
because I said I'm never going to play it because I don't have the time to work through a game that's that difficult. So I'm just, only way I can experience it is if I watch some other people play or I watch some videos or whatever and get the cliff notes on the story. But if you would have given me like a mid-level mode or a baby mode, just so I could like race through it, check out the story, whatever, they probably would have got some money out of me. But other people were like, well, why should they dumb the game down? Whatever. Like, you could still play it on hard as hell mode if you want to. Right? Like, same thing what you're saying about this MLB The Show. Like, you can still play without women in the game. You don't have to make Tony Stone.
You don't ever have to.
Yeah, you don't have to make that character.
A woman character in Road to the Show, you don't have to. But let anybody else who wants to use these characters do so. And what's the harm in that? To me, there is none.
It literally does not change your gaming experience. Yeah. That's the weirdest part, right? You're mad about something that doesn't even affect how you interact with the game. So it's like, I don't know. It's weird, man. But let's talk about what we learned this week, because I think there's a couple of things that sadly are both kind of disappointing. So I'll let you go first.
Yeah, Larian Studios, the people that brought us Baldur's Gate 3, the pretty much game of the year from everybody in 2023, and now kind of a mic drop moment, announced they're not actually going to do Baldur's Gate 4. Having covered video games for, at this point, more than 20 years, I can't remember the last time I heard somebody that did an incredible game just say, hey, you know, we're out. We're not doing this anymore. Which they did say they have other projects that they would like to work on. So certainly from a creative standpoint, I can understand, hey, you did a phenomenal thing, but you want to do new things. And certainly you've gotten, you know, so much acclaim and attention that may allow you to go on and because whatever the next project is, everybody's going to be waiting for it because of the incredible job they do. What they say, Wizards made something, I want to say, like 90 million off of Baldur's Gate last year.
Yeah, I think it was even more than that.
Yeah, and still it's still going, because now apparently there won't be any DLC because they're done.
Yeah.
Or at least it won't be any more from Larian Studios. Now, we did talk about several episodes ago that I guess apparently, Tencent wanted to buy something.
Yeah, it sounded like, best I could piece together, was Larian wanted to get some type of exclusive thing, probably to be the people to make RPGs for D&D going forward. Probably weren't funded enough for it. Went to parent company Tencent that owns a percentage of Larian and said, hey, y'all got big pockets. How about you go talk to these dudes and see if y'all could lock up the deal? And it sounds like the deal just didn't happen. Like, they couldn't agree to term. Now, we do know Tencent, when they get into things like that, they kind of want a lot of control and they kind of want to dictate things. that probably happened. And Wizards said, nah, we're not going to let that happen. And Tencent was like, cool, then we don't want to buy enough of it to make it exclusive or whatever.
Yeah, so it's possible Tencent stepped in and said, hey, if we can't get what we want, we're not gonna fool with it anymore. They're also, because of, unfortunately, all the layoffs at Wizards, some of the people that worked with Larry and to help them, you know, kind of understand D&D better got laid off. So it may just be a thing where, you know what, they didn't feel like, it's just unfortunate, you know, that you work on the game of the year and so many things in Magic that were incredible last year and then you don't get to be there anymore. So maybe that's another thing too. They just, hey, you know, we don't want to work with new people. We like the people we work with.
Yeah, I think you touched on two things. I think it could very well just be a business side thing where different sides wanted different percentages of money. They couldn't agree to terms or whatever, or what having exclusivity means as far as control or not, or who knows what, right? When brands get into those type of deals, especially when they're that big, there's a lot of push and pull that has to go right, or the deals just never happen. So could be a little bit of that. But maybe the other point you had stands, right? That they made a pile of money off of Baldur's Gate 3 that could probably fund, I imagine, their next two projects at least. So, like, maybe they just said, hey, we have enough money. We do this other project. Let's assume it's only half as popular, right?
It's like being on somebody's hit song, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to go solo, you maybe you got to do it right then.
Exactly.
You're on a hit record. You got to jump off and try to make that solo thing happen.
But the difference would also be they don't have to pay any licensing fees or also percentages true. Or any of that stuff, too. So it's like, all right, let's say we are somewhere between 50 to 70% of what Baldur's Gate 3 was. But still we're also not giving up. I don't know what their deal was. Let's say 10% or 20% or whatever. So it's like, still not that bad. And it's still going to be way better than the project you had before Baldur's Gate 3. So it might still be worth it. Ultimately, I don't know. Like, that's a tough one. Like, without being behind closed doors, I have no idea what created the situation. But, man, there's a lot of ways this could have happened.
It's kind of wild news, though. Yeah, it's also just hard to see how many people were just saddened and didn't want Wizards in control of their own characters. Like, it's their D&D is still their thing. So...
Oh, yeah, and I have no doubt that, like, people within the D&D team worked with Larry to say, like, hey, here are the characters, here's their background. Obviously, if you've played D&D or read the books, all the stuff about Baldur's Gate and the monster types and all that was history from D&D. So no doubt that Wizards was handling a lot of the backstory. So I don't think that was the issue at all. Hell, I wouldn't even be surprised if some D&D writers and stuff wrote the whole thing and then just left all the technical side to Larry. You know, wouldn't surprise me at all if that was the case. Which might also be part of it. Now that I'm thinking about it, Larry might have felt like, hey, we want more control to write more of the story and do more with the characters through the process. Because I think I told you the story before about how I was working with Comic Images at one point to do the Godzilla card game, and just the amount of control that the other company needed made it to where the project never even came out. And we'd already done a chunk of work toward it just because it was just too much to deal with. So I could see that being a thing, too. I could see that being a little problematic. But it is surprising, dude, when you're talking about a game that probably... I'm trying to think of what other games had come out recently that hit the gaming community that big across, like, all fronts. Because I felt like even Diablo, jokes were being made around that and just, like, pop culture stuff because so many people had played it. Like, I don't know.
Diablo, I guess, would be probably the other one recently that had that kind of just, oh, my God, it takes everything over.
Yeah, probably. And that's like a legacy game at this point. So I'm like, because I was like, Among Us, maybe, you know, like, you know, and that was 4 years ago when it had its prime or whatever. So, like, yeah, I don't, maybe that's it. I can't think of many.
So for somebody to be working on a project like that and say, hey, you know what, we're out. I remember the last time anybody that worked on the game of the year said, yeah, we're done. on to the next one. On to the next one.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, and I'm trying to think back, was have we had a game that big or game of the year title that wasn't that was a licensed product that came from out of house?
Telltale, Walking Dead won Game of the Year. Several years ago.
Okay.
And then, ironically, everybody at Telltale Games ended up getting fired. So it's just, it's sad that, and I guess it's kind of always been this way, but especially receipt of the past several years, you can do phenomenal work. It still doesn't guarantee that you have a job at the end of the year or even the fiscal quarter. It's sad, but that's where we are.
So what it sounds like is you need to make a game big, but not licensed, if you want to have future success. That's kind of where we're at, sadly. Yeah, that's tough. Now, I kind of came across this creator. He goes by the Big Cheese, I believe, on Twitter. And he's just a fun follow. Like, so occasionally he'll just post some silly stuff or make some little promo videos. And he mostly streams, does some video game stuff. Fun guy. But he posted today that he was having some trouble because he would stream on Twitter as one of the platforms he would multi-stream to or whatever. And then he found out he can't stream to Twitter anymore, or X, I should say, because he is no longer verified and did not pay his $8. Now, he's already built up a decent size audience. He was verified before, apparently. So that's how he knew how all the stuff worked. And then magically, they just cut it off, and now he can't, unless you pay the $8. Also discovered, he said X or X Gaming, which I didn't even know X Gaming was a thing.
Right?
First off, like, I tried to look up stuff on it, and there's apparently like 52 different things that use some variation of X Gaming, X Arcade, X Play, whatever.
Of course there are. That's why X was always a terrible name for this website.
Yeah, like really, anything that's X or I before something, it probably exists in the world at this point. Yeah. But that being said, this is one
from the 90s. Anything that ends in Z where an S should
That was the hot trend for a minute. Like, here's the thing. Like, one, all this stuff with Twitter is just becoming mind-numbingly silly, right? Just layer of things that are problematic. But I thought about it. Like, if streaming was that important, would I give them the $8? And I think it would just simply be like, was I making, and I don't know his finances or whatever. So like, I'm just speaking from personal perspective. Like if I thought I was making more than $8, it had to be significantly more than $8. So I was making, let's say $50 to $100 a month from streaming on Twitch or Twitter. I mean, like, I guess I'd give them the $8. You know, if it's less than that, then it's like, all right, so I'm giving up money to only make a marginal amount more. Like, how much hassle is it? Like, if it was just for extending your branding or reach, probably not worth it. You know, I don't know.
Especially when we've heard for years that X was going to give it to you.
Exactly. Now X ain't giving you nothing unless you pay $8. Right. Like, that's where we're at. Like, that's real.
X gonna charge you for it. Doesn't have nearly as good a beat to it.
Yeah. It doesn't flow. And I will say this, like, I have given my $8 and then I didn't. And then I have partly for part of an experiment because I'm trying to see like how it affects reach and all that other stuff. But also like occasionally it is nice to be able to like make a post that's two or three paragraphs and not have to have like five posts to say the same thing. Like, all right, some minor conveniences. But if I'm not using the features, there's really not a reason to give them the $8. Like people think people are giving them $8 because, like, you get the blue check mark. And in fact, nobody gives a damn about that. Like, ask anybody who's giving them $8. They don't give a damn about the blue check mark. It don't mean crap. Like, it literally means nothing right now. Like, there's not even a reason to show it to you. Really. There's not. There's no reason to even show you the blue check mark right now. Other than, I guess, Twitter says, we at least saw your ID and you're a real person. Like, that. I guess that's as close as you're going to get to verified on there right now. Though, I have seen that they can still verify people because there's a couple of there was like two really old long accounts that they went in and I guess gave them the blue check mark back just because they thought, okay, you have a huge fan following, we don't want all that negativity here, have your blue check mark, and then kind of went on about their business. So they can still do it, they're just choosing not to. But I don't know, now that you can't even stream there without having the $8, though, like, this is getting silly. Like, and they've implemented this thing where, like, now you can have subscribers on Twitter that follow you. so you can make content just for your subscribers to see. There's some weird things. You know, they're trying to get a bunch of video going on there, but nobody's really watching a lot of videos there. I even watched a thing with Mr. Beast. He's just posting old videos on Twitter that have already done well on YouTube. And what he's discovering is, one, retention's very low on Twitter, because makes sense. People aren't going there. Like, any video more than 5 minutes, they ain't going to be watching the whole video on Twitter. That's just not how it works. And yeah, I'm pretty patient.
Built around short snippets of
content. So you know what works. You know what to post there. But he is making a decent amount of money, because he's still getting millions of views because he's Mr. Beast. And there's some number of people that didn't know he was doing that on YouTube still, which is crazy when you think about his numbers, that something like one out of every 9 people on planet Earth has probably seen a Mr. Beast video in the last year, which is insane. Actually, no, I think it's like 1 out of 11, something like that. But like, still crazy number when you do the math. But there's still people don't know him. So he's using it that way and just pocketing some extra money for having his people just repost stuff. But a lot of people aren't posting on there. They're not using the platform that way. And I don't know, this is just one more thing to be like, hey, people can go stream on YouTube. People can stream on Facebook. People can stream on Twitter or Twitch. You know, all those are free.
Yeah.
Like, why are they going to pay you $8 just for the courtesy of streaming? Like, it should be the other way around. If somebody already has a big following somewhere else, you should want them to stream on Twitter so you get more viewers or more of their regular followers or whatever coming to check out your stuff, or at least bringing you quality content that other people have already, I guess, vetted in some way that it's good. Right? It's weird to just not want them to do that, but I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's happy selling his Cybertrucks right now. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on.
And it doesn't seem like he does either, so.
Yeah, exactly. But all right, we have a couple of quick things to talk about in our topics today. So remember how we kind of joked a little bit last week that we didn't know if Thunder Junction was going to have an early access event? Well, literally, when we got done recording, I had an email said, hey, there's going to be a Thunder Junction early access event. They barely sent out while we were recording. So that was kind of amusing. But it's not like it normally is, which raised a few concerns and alarm bells. We're going to politely call this a limited early access, because that's kind of what it is. But in this case, it's not all the creators that did it before. There were definitely some creators I've talked to that have done previous early access events that were not contacted this time. I don't know what they're looking for demographically. I don't know if they're looking for certain types of reach. I don't know if it's older channels, newer channels, whatever. I'm still trying to figure that out, because a lot of it's still coming together. But they did say fewer people were involved this time than normal. They've also reduced the amount of hours we have to play. So it's going to start on April 10, I believe, at 8 a.m., goes till 6 p.m. Pacific time. Normally, that would be 8 a.m. until the following day's 8 a.m., so you get a full 24 hours, which makes sense because you have usually hundreds and hundreds of creators all around the world, all participating, and that makes a lot of sense. But this feels more like a, hey, we're trying some new things. We got a new team to manage this. We don't want them to be overwhelmed. We want to see if our new stuff works. So let's limit the number of people and the amount of time.
Understandable.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I'm with you. Like, my first thought was, this sucks. There's some really cool people that may not be participating this time. There's some people that had just started to grow their channels that were hoping to participate. But as much as we talk about, you know, this company shouldn't have tried to do too much, they shouldn't have fired these other people, they're at least taking the right step to be like, hey, we're pretty sure we can manage this many people. We're pretty sure we have the people to manage this many hours. We want to try a new setup. Let's see if this works. And then it sounds like they'll probably expand it for the next one, which I guess would be Bloomborough, I think, with the animals or whatever. Like, then we hopefully will be back to a regular early access event. But for now, this is kind of what we got. I'm fortunately one of the people that will get to participate. I wasn't necessarily expecting to, because we hadn't seen the big announcement or whatever. But like I said, when we logged off, I had an email, there was a Twitter post. So if you've been wondering, if you wake up, actually, you know what I just realized? Depending on where you are in the country, you may not even get home to watch people play live because it cuts off at 6 p.m. Yeah, that's a, I didn't think about that till right now when we were talking about it. I just had that thought of like, if you work till 5, let's say Central Time, so you are ahead by 2 hours, right? Like, so you get home, you get the kids, you eat, you do whatever. Like, at best, you might get to watch an hour's worth probably after everything. If you're West Coast, you may not get to watch at all, right? You get home, it's almost already 6 o'clock by the time they're going to wrap it up. And by then, your favorite creator's probably already done, knowing that the 6 o'clock hour is going to hit and, you know, they're finished. So, yeah, I now that I'm thinking about it, I would have rather even start at 10 a.m. and have it go to about 8 p.m. Pacific time. Still the same number of hours, but allow more people to experience it. Would have probably been a little bit better. But
I mean, they may already have numbers that say nobody watches it after 5 anyway.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think that would be accurate because I know a lot of people have definitely played afterwards because you've had people all around the world playing for 24 hours. Right. This will be the first time we get to have it look like this. But you're right. They still might have other numbers to still say, hey, maybe the number of creators they're using are predominantly U.S. creators this time.
I'm
I don't know.
Sure. That's probably the
you know, thing. But let's say it's 80% U.S. creators and they go, well, in the U.S., fewer people start watching after 4 p.m. or something Pacific time. Then, OK, maybe. I don't know. That's probably could be true. I don't know what it is, but I could see a point where it could be. Like that could be a reason, but yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how this goes or what they learn from it. I will say this, as far as the team of people there, I have seen at least two people in the Discord that were there previously. Now, I don't know what their actual job titles are. I just know they've been there and helped us out during that thing when we've had questions or needed to get an email or something. Two of those people are back, so it's at least not a completely new group of fresh eyes. Like, there are some people that at least understand the structure and know some of the people or whatever, so it should flow okay. I would assume on the viewer side, you're going to see very few issues. It'll just be creator side, what differences there are or whatever, but we'll see. Another interesting thing that happened, as I started to hear about 2 weeks ago, this company that had been reaching out to players, or not players, but creators, to work sponsorship deals with them. That apparently sells proxies. Proxies. Being basically counterfeits. Not because, like, let's be real. If you're using somebody's actual images and rules text and symbols and whatever, like, that's a counterfeit card. Like, we can call it what we want, but by law, you're making a counterfeit card. If it's the same size, designed to look the same, with the same colors, the same image, to fit the same way, to work the product the same way, it's you're making an illegal product that goes with this other game. Now, an actual proxy, which some people do, using original artwork, making the card look significantly different, repainting it, doing whatever, it's obviously not the original card. Cool. Nobody's going to be duped or fooled by anything. But this site, and they go, I don't know if I should even say their name, honestly, so people don't go use it. But this company on their website is proud to say they make proxies for Magic, Lorcana, Star Wars, Pokemon, One Piece, Flesh and Blood. You can order now. And all I was thinking, like, man, don't let the mouse find out. Because he's going to come for you, right? But I don't know. They reached out, first off, they reached out to me with an email that said, hey, since you've been part of our previous promotions, we'd like to include you in the upcoming one, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, absolutely have not ever promoted proxies. So I know this. Now, and don't get me wrong. If you make proxies to play in your deck or whatever, and you want to test cards out, whatever, keep doing you. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just talking about companies making counterfeit cards like this that I'm just like, I've never promoted that. Never have. Surprisingly, 2 days later, I get an email saying, oh, we apologize about the last email. You actually haven't been part of our past promotions. And by the way, I have not responded to them. So I guess they either discovered this on their own or they just have two made up emails. Like, could be either situation. But they're like, but we realize mistake on our part. We apologize, but we'd still like to have you be part of our upcoming promotions, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know, because either way, the fact that you're willing to send out a questionable email and a follow-up email, either you realize your dumb mistake, which is already bad, or you straight up lied, which is even worse. So why do I want to work with this company right out of the gate? And then go to your website and just say like, oh, you're just literally making wholesale fake cards. Now, as far as I can tell, the back might be different, but that's about it. I just like, yeah, I'm not feeling that. And I've had situations already, I've said this before, where I've bought collections from people and they genuinely didn't know they had fake cards. Now, I don't know if somebody traded or sold it to them as a fake, or it, maybe they acquired somebody else's collection and they just had them in there and they thought they had this expensive thing. But it definitely creates problems, even if that's not your intention a lot of times. And I've seen it with multiple different types of games. So that's why I personally am just not willing to be involved with any of that. Hell, we would love to have another sponsor for the podcast right now. Not that one. Like, let me tell you. Like, I appreciate it, but nah, I ain't trying to get in trouble with the powers that be on a bunch of different fronts. But yeah, it's just, I don't even know what this company would even be willing able to pay. Honestly, that's the other thing. Like, it's a weird thing. And also, I don't know of anybody else that's actively promoting them. Not to say that nobody is, I'm sure somebody is, but I don't know of any other, what I would call reputable creators that are supporting anything like this. So yeah, definitely set off some alarm bells for me that I was just like, yeah, I think I'm going to walk away from this one. I don't want to be involved with it. It just feels weird, feels wrong. And again, if it was promoting true proxies of just like, hey, they have their own in-house artists, they make a bunch of original art, maybe they do some cool color treatments or some cool foiling to make their cards stand out or something, then like, all right, maybe I might consider it. But when you're just saying like, hey, we just make cards for everybody, come on in and print your stuff. Like, I can't, man. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. It just gave me the ick, man. I just couldn't do it.
I'm not familiar with their stuff at all. So I...
It was the first time I'd heard of them.
Yeah. Like, and you showed me the thing off. They're the name of the company before we started taping, and I don't know them, don't know anybody who knows them.
That's the other thing that makes it shady too. I mean, they had like 800 reviews on Trustpilot, so I mean, I guess. I mean, like, somebody uses them or knows about them.
Or one person just wrote 800 reviews.
Also true. Like, now, the other thing is too, I don't know how old they are. So like, for all I know, you know, you could have 800 reviews, but that's over like 10 years or something. Like, I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, I got no clue. So it's like, it's a weird thing to me. I just can't get behind it. So yeah, just know that while I do like money, and I've told people before, I'm a mercenary, I can be bought, but there are some ethics involved with that along the way. And sometimes I just got to say no. So yeah, just can't. I will say, though, as we wrap up, we don't have a dinner table segment today. We knew this was going to run a little bit long, and we didn't want to, like, force a subject here because we had a lot to talk about in the first part of the show. So we wanted to make sure that was covered. And honestly, that's kind of the type of thing we'd have in the dinner table sometimes anyway. But all that being said, you will be able to catch me with the early access stuff on April 10th. If you want to come watch that, I will be playing the majority of the time. So there's that. And some fun stuff going down on the YouTube channel soon. So you should come do that. And also, you should follow my boy Brian Psionic. But also, where else can they follow you, buddy?
Yeah, I am on Twitter, X, YouTube, Instagram.
And you can find me everywhere at Power Dragon, PowerDragon. And wherever you're watching or listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Please remember to take care of yourselves and your family. Remember to be awesome. And as we always say, be awesome to each other. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.